Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today from Matthew 10 is one that the pastor always wishes he didn't have to preach on. It's not easy. Jesus has been sending his disciples out, his 12, with the instructions and expectations of what happens when you proclaim the kingdom of heaven, when you speak for the kingdom of heaven, when you represent the kingdom of heaven. He's gone through all of the different things that we've already talked about, their role as those with authority to proclaim, to heal, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, the fact that they would be confronted, but they are to be without fear, that there's all of this hatred for Jesus and there would be hatred for them, these things that they would come to expect. And then we come to 34 through 39. You almost want to say, well, maybe Jesus didn't say those words. Because 34, Jesus says, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. Not come to bring peace, but a sword. Well, isn't Jesus the Prince of Peace? Isn't the kingdom supposed to be a kingdom of peace? Isn't peace part of the deal with the Messiah, right? That's part of the promise of the Messiah, is that there will be peace. But Jesus here says, no, that's not the deal. That's not part of the plan. In fact, the peace that you think, disciples, that I'm coming to bring is not what I'm coming to bring. I've not come to bring peace to the earth. In other words, I've not come to call all nations together so that we can sit around the campfire and sing Kumbaya and, this little gospel light of mine. And those. That's not what Jesus has come to do. So what has he come to do? I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Person's enemies will be those of his own household. Yikes. So the kingdom of heaven brings chaos? Warfare? What in the world is Jesus talking about? And I wish, as your pastor, I wish I could say, well, here's exactly what Jesus says. So he's not really saying this. He's really saying this, and it's a nice thing. It's not what Jesus is saying. When the kingdom of heaven is preached, when the kingdom of heaven is lived, when the reign and rule of God in Christ into the world and in our lives shows up, there are problems. It's a natural consequence. But it's also part of what happens when the kingdom of heaven is present. It's been this way since the beginning. It'll be this way until Jesus comes again. And that is that the kingdom of heaven causes problems. We talked a little bit about that last week, about how brother will deliver brother over to death and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. And here Jesus is continuing that and almost doubling down on this idea that the kingdom of heaven causes chasms, schisms, splits in the family all the way down. The kingdom of heaven is not one that glosses over differences. It's not one that fills in the gaps between the issues of people. It's one, the kingdom of heaven comes right down and divides. Jesus is preparing his disciples to see this. He's preparing his disciples as they go out into the villages to proclaim the kingdom of heaven, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to heal the leper, to do all of those things, that when they walk into a house, that sometimes that house, by their mere presence there, is going to be in turmoil. Sometimes the house that they walk into is not going to be peaceful. It's not going to be whole. It's not going to be together, and sometimes even again, by their mere presence, by them walking in the name of Jesus, there's going to be a problem. It's going to cause a split. Sometimes sons against fathers, daughters against mothers, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. In other words, throughout the whole family, that the presence of Jesus has the potential and will definitely, in some places, cause problems. I don't know if you're familiar with that. I think most of us have had some experience of that. My prayer is not in our own families, but unfortunately, it's maybe a pie-in-the-sky prayer. I know the name of Jesus causes problems in families. I've seen families split over belief in Christ, faith in Jesus, and one part of the family says, I can't even deal with them. And another part of the family says, well, we're going to go so far the opposite direction that we wouldn't even be related if you didn't know us. I don't want to rip scabs off, but how many of us have had children who we brought them in the church, we raised them in the faith, they came to Sunday school, they did all of the things, and yet, where are they today? Are they in church? Are they here with us? Are they so far away that we can't even possibly imagine what in the world happened? We did everything we could. We tried our best. We gave them Jesus from the time that they were born. We brought them, and now where are they? It's heartbreaking. Jesus is preparing his disciples, saying, the kingdom of heaven, this is what happens. This is what the proclamation of Jesus does to families. Now, I'm not saying that it happens to every family and that every family is going to experience this. A lot of times that it brings families together. Sometimes the name of Jesus and being in the church kind of holds the family together. Maybe it's the only thing that holds the family together as everything else is tearing it apart. This is the one thing that we can grab onto, and that is such a blessing. But it's not the norm. And it's not what Jesus is telling his disciples to expect. It's going to be a problem. Jesus goes on to say, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Is Jesus telling us not to love our families? Again, what is Jesus saying? Because this isn't the gentle Jesus, meek and mild, Jesus loves me, this I know. This is a much different proclamation of the kingdom of heaven. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. The kingdom of heaven comes and is by itself because it is the reign and rule of God, is the number one priority in every believer's life. It demands it. When we teach in the catechism, the first article of the creed, we say that the first commandment, that we fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Do we place God above all things? Well, again, we know our complaints about the way that society has replaced, but we can't blame society when we look around at ourselves and realize, well, yeah, sometimes there are other things that take priority. And once they take priority once, they're going to take priority twice, three times, and then finally, that's the priority. See, this is the thing with the kingdom of heaven. This is the thing with the reign and rule of God, is it demands devotion. It demands priority. And yet we, as sinful human beings, we can't do that. There's so many other earthly things that draw our attention away. And once we let it go once, again, it goes and goes. And Jesus is saying, this is what happens when the kingdom of heaven is proclaimed. There becomes a battle, a war, as it were, in families, in society, in cultures, where everything in culture demands that we jettison the whole kingdom of heaven thing in place of all of the wonderful things that the world offers in all of the other things that have become priorities for us on Sunday mornings. What do we always complain about? Oh, kids' sports comes a priority. Oh, this, we have to work, comes a priority. And then slowly but surely our kids fall away. Well, it's not slowly but surely. Do you see how this happens? Jesus said it would happen this way. Jesus said that when the kingdom of heaven is proclaimed, when the reign and rule of God comes to be, there's going to be a battle, a tug of war, constantly for priority. We sang Wondrous Cross. We said that it demands my all. Why? Why does the kingdom of heaven, why does the reign and rule of God as we see on the cross, why does that demand all? Why does that demand priority? Why doesn't it just play nice with everything else? Why doesn't it just make us love one another and everything is good? Again, this is when the pastor would say, I don't want to preach this text. Because it's not easy. It affects every single one of us on a level that hurts. And maybe that's what the kingdom of heaven comes to do. To help us realize that we haven't always made it a priority. We haven't always feared, loved, and trusted God above all things, that we have let so many other things in our lives, in our children's lives, in our grandchildren's lives kind of pass by in a way that says, well, we don't want to cause problems. We don't want to cause ripples. We don't want to hurt feelings. We don't want to do any of this stuff. And the world says, yeah, keep going, keep going, keep going. Yeah, don't make all nice. And then we see a church in our world that's struggling because there are generations missing. It's not that we can't get the young people. We wish we could get the young people. Let's have a youth group and we'll get the young. No, no, no. Look at our own families. Who's missing? There's generations. And the kingdom of heaven comes and breaks our hearts. And yet the kingdom of heaven comes with promises, with verse 39, when Jesus says, whoever finds his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The reign and rule of God in Christ in the world, it divides, it breaks, it shatters, it tears, it rips all of these worldly and cultural and whatever myths and things we have in our heads about how things should be, and says, no, this is the only way that it should be. That the reign and rule of God in Christ comes in the form of a cross. Comes in the form of the reign and rule of God himself dying, giving his life so that we can find it. It's not an easy journey being in the kingdom of heaven. It's not an easy journey proclaiming the reign and rule of God in Christ. It's not. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for those who think it's going to be a cakewalk. It's not for those who think that it's going to make nice all around the world. And if we could just get people to be kind, then that would be everything. No. It's not. It comes at the cost of Christ on the cross for us. Now, I wish there was a, so cheer up. I wish there could be. But it is what it is here today when we see, again, the gaps. It's hard. So we, as God's people, as those who live under the reign and rule of God in Christ, as the one we fear, love, and trust above all things, we find ourselves once again at a loss. So we come. We come to the cross. We come to the rail. We come to the table where God says, I know life is hard. I know it's not easy. I know we make mistakes. I know we sin intentionally and unintentionally by the things we do and the things we don't do. I know, he says, I know you're going to go places where my name causes problems, so let me come to you today. Let me make it whole for you today. Because tomorrow's going to be hard. So you need today. So the gospel in all of this, the gospel in all of this is here. It's not in the word that I'm preaching. It's here when we come to receive the body and blood of Christ for our forgiveness. That's where it is. That's where Christ says, I am here. The reign and rule of God in Christ is here. It's for you. Amen. And now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and minds in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.